Good morning. I'm Alyssa Short, your worship associate for this morning. As we begin our annual stewardship campaign, we are honored to hold space for the voices of our congregation. Their reflections this morning will thoughtfully guide us through the questions of what inspires us to commit to the UUC, why we pledge, and what this investment means to us. We welcome Clyde Marshall Teets to the center of our virtual sacred space. Clyde, thank you. We meet your reflection with open minds and deep listening.
When I first started attending the UUC, I took comfort in being new. Being new is nice. You meet people for the first time, multiple times, and you aren't expected to know the tunes of the hymns. Then I started remembering some of the names sometimes and recognizing the songs. But it was still nice to be new. I got to be the new person at all the committee meetings I curiously wandered to. I even got to be the new coffee maker. You can ask questions easier when you're new, and you can explain that you don't know where anything is with the phrase, "I don't know, I'm new." When a new member's orientation was offered, I felt obligated to go since I was so new. It was a trick. After Patrick led us through some simple icebreakers and praised us for our amazing performance, we were informed that we could become members of the UUC. I told Reverend Pam that I thought I already was a member. She said something like, "You are, but it would be more official if you make a promise to donate some money and sign the book, and then you can vote on congregational decisions." Those were not her exact words, but it was like that. I don't think my membership was being questioned at this orientation, but it was possible that my status of being new was reaching its limits of respectability. My precious newness was allowing me to be involved without feeling too overwhelmed with the expectations that I might be reliable. I don't feel confident about my reliability. The stewardship commitment and the membership commitment forced me to admit that I was losing my claim to being new. Everyone was welcoming me and expressing to me in the variety of ways that I belong here. But being new was letting me keep a safe distance from the commitments implied in belonging to a congregation. When I was settled and comfortable being perpetually new, the ask to pledge funds and my decision to oblige required that I move from just seeing how I could help out to joining in on a project that asks, what world can we live in when we live together as our full selves? Pledging some funds and calling the UUC my congregation reveals my dependence on this project and the project's dependence on me. We are investing in each other. We aren't just donating to a charity. We are saying that this thing we are doing is essential.
Now I invite us to take a deep breath. Settle in just for a moment of thought. This marks the 1 year anniversary of the first time we were together on Zoom. The first time that you braved worshiping via computer. I invite you to think now of the sorrows of this past year, the losses, the sadness, the separation. It has been a hard year. And yet, we are all here together. Hold those sorrows, hold those losses lightly. And now I invite you to call to mind all the joys of your heart. The joys of seeing loved ones' faces, albeit on a computer screen, of hearing their voices, of moments of quiet reflection and of deep joy. And yet, we are still together. I invite you now to think of your hopes for the year ahead. After you get your vaccine, what's the first thing you want to do that you haven't been able to do? What lessons from this past year do you want to carry forward into your life? May all our hopes and wishes come true. And may we make it so. Amen. And blessed be.
We now welcome Jean Elliott and Sharon Crane to our virtual sacred space. Together, Jean and Sharon use their words to take us on a tour of so many aspects of the UUC. Let us sit back, take a breath, and fully savor their beautiful offering.
Hi, my name's Jean Elliott, and this is my partner, Sharon Crane, and we were asked to talk about commitment and pledging and that was hard, roll our eyes, groan, but why we came to become members. And so that set about a bit of reflection. Here's what we came up with. I guess the little bit about the backstory is we've been looking and seeking for a long time as far as congregations that felt right, but mostly
where we fit. Yeah.
And dogma got in the way, creeds, the calendar, the Christian calendar where they had to tie everything into a certain week. It just didn't feel right to us. And we had come a couple times over to the services and really enjoyed them. But really, we started coming back in 1999, 2000 to Sufi dancing, the Dances of Universal Peace. And that embodied so many different religions and felt so good
honored
to us
them.
And honored them. And it was in those dances that we also realized how beautiful and peaceful the inside of the church was. Mm-hmm. And as we came on Sunday mornings here and there, that, you know, I love looking out those big windows and seeing nature and
getting a warm welcome. yeah,
it was hard to not have anybody, you know, you can't walk into your church or our church without somebody greeting, including Isabel was the most welcoming of everyone, knew our names immediately, had those name cards for us the next week, and that felt good. But I guess to break down the service a little bit, when Karen Hager comes to tell us what the kids are doing each week, I am amazed. I'm excited, and I'm not going. I know. I haven't seen that Twilight Zone or talk about Harry Potter. Or, you know, it just sounds, and I think it's so important. I mean, the graying of the church today, and we have such a vibrant young community. We are so lucky, and they're coming for a reason, and I think that's wonderful. And we love... We're master naturalists, and we love the outdoors. And so the gardens are particularly attractive and a welcoming space, a place to
shared
contemplate.
With the neighbors.
Shared with neighbors, yeah. But I guess we also, in the garden, you find the principles. And we had not been that familiar with that, but I think the principles we found dovetail.
I can embrace them. And that's something I've not been able to do in a lot of congregations I've been part of. I also, I realize that I can be who I am over at the UUs, and I can grow into who I'm becoming, along with a lot of other people who are trying to do the same thing. And it's very affirming, and it's I'm thankful for it. I'm thankful for the freedom to do that.
Right. We at first were just searching for what they called open and affirming place where we could be ourselves and partners, and it wouldn't matter. And but it's more than that. It's you're not just, and I keep saying you're, but we are not just open and affirming. We embrace social justice work and being an activist. That was very important to us. Mm-hmm. And I keep saying and, but I guess.
I think that's all we need to say. We donate because this is a wonderful place and it's a freeing place and it needs to be supported. We need to maintain this building. We need to maintain the wonderful people who do the stuff that bring us all these programs and I sound like NPR, but to support Pam and her family, they're doing the work of the congregation. And I am glad to be a part of that. Very much.
Yeah, we've also done a little bit with the Soul Matters group and gotten to know a few folks with that. That's been great. And participated with some of the Better Angels and appreciate that as well. But I guess I'm also a big fan, being a former choir director. I just love sitting and watching Jared. I get at a place and when we're meeting where I can see his hands on the piano. We have so many gifted people. And it's really a wonderful thing to be a part of it. So I guess we'll finish with the auction. And even though this isn't about the auction, we just went, oh, auction. We didn't want to go. So we went a couple times. And what keeps us happy, it's a happy place, but we really like renting Patrick.
He's done some wonderful things for us.
Yeah, what a handyman. But that's just another bonus aspect to
and
being a part of it.
It's another way to give to the church, to help support it.
Right. So
that's it.
That's our 2 cents. We kissed a lot of frogs, and we think we found our prince.
Thank you.
I'm telling you what, after that testimonial, I'm thinking, first off, how amazing that story was, but also, I think that's deserving of everyone being able to sit close enough to Jared to be able to see his hands as he plays.
We now open up our hearts to the memories and reflections of longtime member Judy Snoke. Judy and Arthur Snoke raised their family in the UUC, and it is our honor to hold this sacred space for Judy's words.
My name is Judy Snoke. I'm Jewish, and my husband Arthur was raised in a liberal Protestant church. We were married by a rabbi, but we didn't associate on a regular basis with any religious community until we had kids. When we came to Blacksburg, I had our kids go to the Jewish Saturday school. At the recommendation of a friend, we started going to the Unitarian Fellowship, and the kids had classes in the basement of the old house. At that time, there were no services in the summer, but there were several activities like canoeing and hiking, which we and our kids enjoyed. One year, there was some kind of vote, and the Fun and Frolic Committee was voted the most popular, most important of our activities. A couple of years later, at a membership book signing, we were surprised to see our 6-year-old daughter in line to sign the book. She explained to us that she preferred the Fellowship Sunday School to the Jewish Saturday School. Pledging was very casual in the 80s when we were in the house at the bottom of the hill. Reverend Wayne Aronson wrote that he visited a congregation that didn't take up the offering but had an unmarked plate near the door that had some bills in it. That was us. I recall that at one summer activity, Bill Fry, who was treasurer then, told Arthur he needed money for mortgage payments. When asked how he could keep track of the fellowship budget, Bill explained that his left back pocket was for the fellowship. We gave Bill money and pledge now because the UUC has become our community.
Thank you so much, Judy. We now welcome our closing speakers, the Mayer family, Brian, Katie, Eliza, and Hazel, as they offer us a sparkling glimpse of our bright future together. Thank you, Mayer family. We meet your words with love and with hope.
Hello, we are the Mayer family. Our children's participation in the RE program is important to us because it provides us a caring and nurturing environment where they can learn to be thoughtful and compassionate people. We also see it as a way to educate our children about different people and religious beliefs. The RE program exposes them to many different beliefs and ideals that people have all over the world. This enables them to make personal but informed decisions about how they choose to live their life. The RE programs also give them a creative and social outlet that we know is safe and caring. When we make our pledge, we primarily consider the RE program and its impact on our children and the resources needed to make that happen. This is the primary way we engage in UUC, and therefore we want to make sure we are contributing to enable that. Hazel, can you share what you like about the RE program?
I like that we watch videos and that there's something to talk about the videos. I like the funny videos, and I like my projects, especially the baking ones.
How about you, Eliza? What do you like about RE?
I like my projects, all my projects, and I like Mr. Dan's funny songs the best, and I like,
the stories?
Yeah.
The stories.
The funny stories.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you. I've been hearing about Mr. Dan. I didn't realize it was the funny stories that was such a draw. I wish that we could all get to go to the RE classes. They do sound like lots of fun. So let me talk about the bureaucracy part of what we're doing today. Today is the beginning of our stewardship pledge drive. But it's not really the beginning because 56 pledges have already come in. And people have already pledged $159,492 out of the $345,000 we're looking for. That means we're 46% of the way there. This year has been a different year. So we know that some people may not feel that they can commit as much this year as they'd like, but others may be able to commit more. So if you have the means, think about carrying forward some of those of us who can't give as much and maybe give a little bit more. And in the few weeks ahead, we'll give you updates and let you know how we're doing. But really, it's not just about the money. It's about our hearts. So now that you've heard several stories, it's your turn to consider what your relationship is to this congregation, to consider your commitment. When I meet with couples before I officiate their weddings, I ask them to write me a letter telling me about how they met and about their relationship and why it is they want to commit themselves to each other. It's really helpful when I haven't met the couple before so that I can create a personalized service that is meaningful to them. But I think it's more meaningful to them because it gives them an opportunity to sit down and reflect and remember and to articulate the importance of each other and of their relationship. I love reading their stories. Some are sweet and romantic. Others are silly and funny. One of them was a top 10 list, the top 10 reasons why I love my bride. Others are long and rambling. I've even had some people write, "Please don't say anything about what I'm saying here in the service." But they've taken that opportunity to do an honest reflection on who they are and who they are becoming in this new marriage, in this new commitment. And I have to admit, I often tear up a little bit and always smile when I read those letters. So this morning, you've heard five different stories told in very different ways. Stories that started many years ago and others that are relatively recent. So I invite you now to think, to pause and reflect on the story of your relationship with UUC. How did it start? How has it changed? What does it mean to you today to be part of this religious community? As you consider the story of your relationship to UUC, as you consider how much you feel called to pledge this year, think about your generosity as an expression of gratitude for those who came before, who started the fellowship and made it into what it is today. Think about your generosity as an expression of commitment, your commitment to this congregation and to all its members and friends, and also a commitment to fulfill our mission of inspiring spiritual and ethical growth, creating compassionate community, and transforming our community and the world through courageous love. Think about your generosity as an expression of commitment to our future together. I am so grateful for all those who shared their voices today. I know it's a big ask. We are so grateful to hear your stories and to help us reflect on our own. And as Alyssa read earlier in the service, today we consider with gratitude and humility what it means to pay forward what has been paid forward for us. In the week ahead, I invite you to reflect on your commitments to yourself, to your family, your friends, and to this congregation, but mostly to the rest of the world. And we will extinguish our chalice. But not to the light of truth, not the warmth of community, and certainly not to the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts until we are together again. Amen, and blessed be.